Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening to AFR. And joining me to co-host the program today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
What character was that?
What character?
Oh, I thought you were doing a voice, like a voice from Cheers or something.
Wascally Wabbit.
There you go. I recognize that one. That's from Bugs Bunny, right?
Very quiet. Well, hunting that squiwi wabbit.
Yeah, he'll be here. He'll be here for
unfortunately,
the next hour
folks. He'll be here for the next 90 minutes.
Okay. That was what's the guy's name?
It's Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd.
Good morning, I'll Walker. Blast you, you varmint.
All right.
Good morning.
You just opened.
Yeah. Ed, less is more. I think what we're saying to you. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I'm not even going to try to top that. Ed did it. Either. So
Ed can go. You getting? Get on these Warner Brothers cartoon characters.
That's right.
You know, there's no stopping him. You have to stop him. Anyway, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Ed does a pile of different voices.
Yeah, he could have made it out there on the circuit there for.
Instead, I'm just serving the Lord here at AFA.
In fact, before you came in the studio, he was doing Sean Connery.
I was trying to.
Hey, Sean Connery, he's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
But I just don't hear from him anymore. He must be just retired in Scotland somewhere.
He's
one of my favorite actors.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, and we were talking about the Untouchables. Remember that with Kevin Costner?
Yeah. And also Indiana Jones.
Junior.
Yes.
See there?
Holy Grail.
The Temple of... No, it was The Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Was it?
Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Yeah, he played the part of the father of...
Indiana's father.
Yes. You got it going on there. All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program. Walker, tell our listeners how they can interact, engage, enthrall, all those kinds of things with our program.
Yeah,
can
a lot of ways.
You can be enthralled.
You can be enthralled, but it's not a verb.
It's not a verb.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Walker. Sorry.
But you can enthrall it. We can make it into a verb.
Okay. Go ahead, Walker.
Just enthralled that.
Ed's apologies. Go ahead.
Everybody done? Yeah. I may be interrupted twice, but not twice.
Okay. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah. A couple ways to keep up with the show. Facebook and YouTube are the first two ways. You can watch at both of those locations. You can also catch the news stories on Facebook. I'll post links to all the news articles. And lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your phone or your tablet device and listen anytime, anywhere, and also catch past shows on the app.
Okay, so watch the show today on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues live stream. Do they even have to type live stream or just Today's Issues?
Just Today's Issues should work.
Check it out there. And Ed and Walker monitor Facebook. Even during the show, so.
I like listening to some of the comments.
Yeah,
you know,
are they all pretty?
No,
good?
I think we get a troll or two on there.
Do we?
Yeah, Russian.
You recognize
They're
them?
Russians. I'm pretty sure.
Russian bots.
Yeah, Russian bots.
How come you don't have bots from the Bahamas? I mean, how come they're always just Russian?
I can
bots?
Answer that because okay. If you were in the Bahamas,
right.
Would you waste your time
That's
getting on
true.
The internet to troll
Duly
people?
Noted. Yeah, no, I would not be trolling somebody if I were in the Bahamas. I'd be.
But some poor sap in Russia who's
right.
addicted
Siberia.
To vodka,
living
in cold weather. Yeah, what else is he going to do?
Yeah, I understand. all right. Well, we welcome you to Today's Issues. Fred Jackson?
Yeah, remember, we've kind of wrapped up the first hour of our program yesterday. We didn't get to talk about this at a story meeting this morning. We wrapped it up talking about schools starting again and how we need to be careful and monitoring what our kids are learning in our schools. Well, just before coming into the studio, I just posted this story on One News Now. Here's the headline, Atlanta School, No More Pledge of Allegiance to Start Day.
I saw that.
This is disturbing. Students at an Atlanta school will no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance to start their school day. A story in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning reports Atlanta Neighborhood Charter School made the announcement this week. Elementary campus president Lara Selsky told parents it has become, quote, increasingly obvious during the past couple of years that more people were choosing not to stand or recite the pledge. By that, she means the students, the kids.
Right.
School officials say students will continue to be asked to stand to participate in the school's wolf pack chant each morning. So they'll be asked to stand for that. Also, teachers will work with students to create a school pledge that will focus on civic responsibility to the students, quote, school family, community, country, and our global society, end quote.
Yeah, that's when I read this, this was discouraging because a couple of things. First of all, the insinuation of this progressive one world government, all that kind of stuff, is reaching down lower and lower and lower.
These are 5 year olds.
Yes, into our school system. The other thing that was a little discouraging about this was, obviously, parents. If students do not want to stand up and say, now, if there's a religious objection, I understand that there are a handful of religious groups that don't pledge allegiance to anything. I think Seventh-day Adventists may be one. That's fine. But what I think is happening is that parents are failing to teach their children how blessed we are in this country, about being grateful, because this is one of those deals where you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't force kids to have a sense of civic responsibility or to love their country or to be grateful in a sense. You can't force them. That has to be instilled at a young age, and obviously parents aren't doing their job, and the school's not doing its job, because I can just tell you, just from this article and from what was said by the leaders, the leadership of the school is not encouraging teachers to give civics lessons.
Yeah.
But that last statement about our global society, that's the reason. Yep. America's a bad guy, and we're going to start insinuating that into the kids' minds at a very young age.
Mm-hmm. Propaganda. That's what
very
it is.
Very sad.
It is. It's well, extremely sad.
You know, wasn't too long ago where school kids across the country started the day with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some still do.
Many still do. Really?
Yeah, okay. I would say so.
Pledge of Allegiance.
And the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Some schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... But what you're doing there is you're instilling a sense of pride in your country, and can you find something to complain about in America? I would say so every day. Every day you could find something to complain about, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, the Israelites found something to complain about when God was feeding them in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right. So that's human nature.
Right.
You're right. We can find something.
So that's why I objected to the... one of the reasons I objected to the kneeling during the national anthem by some of the NFL players is because their standard is there's injustice in America, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? There's going to be injustice of America tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, and 100 years from now. You're going to find injustice in America. Why? Because we're 330 million people,
right.
And something's going to go bad somewhere in America tomorrow,
right?
And today, and right now. So that if that's your standard, just... take a knee for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't even leave the field.
Or go to another country and you'll find the same problems.
Exactly. Exactly. But what are you respecting when you have the national anthem or when you say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? You're saying, I'm teaching my children, if we're talking about school children here, to respect the country that they live in because it's an honorable place. And it's an honorable place because of the values that it represents, such as human rights,
right.
Such as compassion for all, such as a representative form of government where people have a voice, such as law and order, such as freedom, such as liberty. Is this a game I'm playing, such as? Isn't that such as?
No, it's...
Anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're different from the rest of the world. Why do people want to come here from around the world? From Africa, from Central America, from Asia, from why do people want to get on a boat in Cuba and risk their life to come to the USA? Why? Because we're a great country, and we're a great place to live and raise your family, and have opportunity. That's why people want to come here. That's why all those Hollywood stars who said if Trump got elected president they were leaving, they didn't leave.
No. Right.
They lied.
Yeah,
they lied. But well, I'm leaving if he. No, they aren't, because this is the best country in the world.
Right.
Where are you going to leave to go to?
Well, and that's why, you know, you, like the school leadership here who makes this statement about, you know, global society.
Yeah.
They want to use the freedoms that people have fought and died for in our country to overtake our country and turn it into something you don't recognize. But, you know, they won't go, they won't go start another country somewhere else or move to Cuba or China. But they want to ruin our country and bring us down in the meantime. But they're using the freedoms that this country gives them to bring it down.
Yeah, so this is just, you know, we need to get back to, if they're going to honor, what they call it, the global what?
They said that the
who are we quoting here now?
This is the school administrators. Am I right?
Lara Zelsky.
What school district is this?
This is a school district, the Atlanta Neighborhoods Charter School.
Okay, and they want to honor what, the global what?
They want to come up with a school pledge.
You're quoting now, right?
I'm quoting. That will focus on civic responsibility to the student's school family, community, country, and our global society. But I think it's the country that they want.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, Steve on Facebook says, Seventh-day Adventists do not have a problem with the Pledge of Allegiance. I looked it up. It's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
That don't say the pledge. So.
Okay. Anyway, Steve, next story, Fred.
Well,
we have ranted enough about this.
Well,
but it deserves ranting.
It does. And that's terrible.
If you don't teach your children, if we lose patriotism completely, we will lose our country.
That's right.
We won't be a country any longer.
That's right.
I don't know when that happens or where we are on that, you know, on that slippery slope. But it will happen if you don't teach children respect for their country.
If you don't, it's like anything else. Blessings must be cherished.
Yes.
You must be grateful for them, and you must, as much as humanly possible, work to preserve them.
Right.
Or you can lose them.
Right.
That's just the way human nature goes, and history teaches us
that. Look at the rest of the world. I mean, you're not going to find a better place to live than America.
That's right.
You're just not.
Sorry. I started all over again, so.
All right. You got me wound up again.
Wound up again.
I'm going to wind down right here, Fred. Give me something good.
Very early on this week, there was a story that was out there. It was fairly low profile, that authorities had basically raided this compound in Amalia, New Mexico. Now, I was talking with Jody Brown this morning on One News Now and showing me a map. This is kind of up in the northeast corner of New Mexico, a very isolated area, very near the border with Colorado. There was a compound there. 11 or 12 kids in this compound, a couple of men and women. And basically, the conditions in the compound, this is the early part of the story, were absolutely deplorable. They were described by the sheriff there as like third world. Now, the whole lot more. These two men have now been arrested from the compound. They appeared in court. Early on, one of the sheriffs described it as a terrorist training camp. And, you know, first blush, okay, is he going overboard with this kind of thing? But it turns out not. We now know a whole lot more about one of these men who was running this training camp. Yesterday it was learned that they were training these kids to go out and attack schools and shoot up schools. Now we know a whole lot more about one of the men, because this hasn't been mentioned in the mainstream media. The man arrested at this compound is the son of a controversial Brooklyn, New York imam who was on a list of people who may have been alleged as co-conspirators in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, according to court documents released by the prosecutors there in New Mexico yesterday. Siraj Wahaj, who shares a name with his son, who was arrested Saturday, testified as a character witness for Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the notorious blind sheikh, who was convicted in 1995 of plotting terror attacks in the U.S. So now we know a whole lot more. This wasn't just a compound with a bunch of people wanting to get off the grid, and that's common in that neighborhood, apparently. Just people want to get off the grid. Now we know a whole lot more. This is a couple of guys, I believe they came from Georgia. They moved out there several months ago, and they were training these kids, according to the prosecution list on the guy who, two of the guys have been charged. They were training these kids basically to be terrorists, to go into schools and shoot mm-hmm. people. And now we know one of the key characters, Siraj Wahaj, his dad, an imam that supports terrorism and connected with terrorist acts in this country. I want to play you a little bit. Dana Lash was on Fox and Friends this morning, talk show host, a spokesman for the NRA. This is what she had to say about this.
He was training starving children, 11 starving children, along with his sisters, to be school shooters. But there's another twist to the story that's just as insane. Siraj Wahaj, his name might sound familiar. He's the 39-year-old who was arrested, and it seems that as though law enforcement identified him as the ringleader. He is the son of the same named Siraj Wahaj, the very controversial New York imam who was one of the unindicted co-conspirators right. in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, and he was a character witness for the blind sheikh in that trial as well. And of course, that's the same imam who, weeks before 9/11, as it was advertised, at least in some graphics that are still circulating online, he was a speaker at a quote-unquote jihadi camp and has some very, very extremist views.
So there you have it. This is a terrorist training camp right here in American soil in New Mexico. They were allowed to exist, go about their business for the longest time. There's another part to this story, and Walker, you may have been reporting on this yesterday on Abe's show, is that at one point the local sheriffs were afraid to go in there because these guys were armed to the teeth. Mm-hmm. The local sheriff was afraid to go in there. They contacted the FBI, and correct me if I'm wrong, the FBI initially said no. We're not going to do anything. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding of the reports. And so the landowner here, and I kind of questioned the landowner on Abe's show yesterday, because you've got this landowner. Now, I will say, out there on these ranches, these farmers own thousands of acres, so it's hard to keep up with who's on your property. But the landowner found this hut, if you will, out on his property, and became suspicious of it, kind of what's going on. He went out there a couple times to check on it and knew there were kids there and stuff and came concerned. He alerted the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office never really did anything about it because there were reports that the men were armed with AR-15s and all kind of stuff. So instead of the sheriff going out there and being attacked, the sheriff's office notified the FBI and the feds. And apparently they refused to take any action on it. So then the sheriff finally said, I'm just going to do it myself. And he got a warrant and went out there and saved the 11 kids, ages 1 to 15, who hadn't eaten for days.
It was really interesting yesterday. The Associated Press story on quoting the prosecutor saying the men of the compound trained kids for school shooting. Not one mentioned the fact of the Muslim connection or the connection to the imams in New York. Not mm-hmm. one mention.
This is Associated Press.
Associated Press story. Not one mention.
Well, that is just inexcusable for news media to leave that kind of stuff out. I wonder sometimes, too, you know, about the federal inaction. Now, they may just be swamped. I don't know what happened there, how this report to the feds, you know, did not trigger any kind of investigation. But, you know, we all read about and hear about compounds throughout the United States. I have no idea how many there are, who's on them. Some of them may just be preppers. They may just want to be off the grid. But then you hear sometimes about, you know, Muslim training mm-hmm. facilities. You just go, well, I mean, what's going on there? And maybe the feds are saying, well, until someone reports something illegal, we can't go on private property without a warrant. I understand that. But you wonder how many of these types of compounds. Yeah, the United States is a huge country. People mm-hmm. forget about that. I've heard many times of people who come from Europe. They come into New York, and then they say, well, next day, tomorrow we're going to Orlando. We're driving to Orlando to go to Disney World. Well, this is going to take you a long time. It's a really big country. Lots of open space.
Yeah,
and you wonder where if there's compounds located in these rural areas.
Yeah, and one of the man who kind of started this, the son of the imam in Brooklyn, he left Georgia, took his son from the mom. He claimed he was going to the park with the son, the three-year-old, special needs child, and then apparently took him to New Mexico, and there's been a body found.
Mm-hmm. Three-year-old was
a dead body found on the property, and they haven't identified it yet, but it's likely to be the man's son, so he may be responsible for not only child abuse but murder also.
You know, so you're saying, Fred, that in the Associated Press story mm-hmm. about this situation, they didn't mention anything about them being Muslim?
Not a word.
Or who this young man, who the, not this young
who
man.
Siraj Hawaj,
Wahaj,
who he was and who he was connected to.
Who his father was.
Who his father was. Not a mention in the AP story.
Huh. That's like talking about a, you know, a story involving the KKK and not mentioning that, you know, that they're white supremacists or something.
Right.
I mean, huh?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
It's right. Just for some reason the mainstream media is loath to mention the connections to radical Islam.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
But
if
this was a camp of alleged Christians.
Yeah.
Right.
And a couple of guys were arrested, and one of the guys arrested, his father was a well-known evangelist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be over that.
Excellent point. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd be all over
And then
them.
They would be saying, this is why we're against homeschooling.
Exactly.
This is yes, why we're against homeschooling.
Right. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. So they got busted. I'm with Ed. I want to know how many more of these, you know, that could qualify as a cell.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They're not training Al-Qaeda men to do things, but they are training people/children. To commit acts of terrorism and violence, right?
Training mm-hmm. children to go shoot. in and do school shootings.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what that's what ISIS does.
In Iraq. These aren't these aren't men being trained, young men being trained. These are
right.
These are children that are being trained to commit acts of terrorism, or jihad. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I would be curious to know what the FBI has to say about why they didn't go in
right
in this situation. Maybe they will come out with a statement. I know that, as Ed said, the FBI doesn't have unlimited resources.
Right.
So
right.
And this may have been a very remote place, and I don't know. But it would be see if they provide any kind of explanation for that. What, by the way, was there a shootout when they went?
No.
Okay.
No. And I think what prompted also, these kids were starving.
Yeah,
that was one of the points. They found a few potatoes and a few other things there, and these kids were rescued.
Right,
they were rescued.
Well, they were emaciated.
Yeah,
you just wonder how people's minds get so twisted. These guys, how many of them were there? Two of them, two males,
two guys, two or three women.
Guys, three women, adults, and
Wahaj had some sisters that were there.
Mm-hmm. And they're holding how many children?
There were
11 children.
I mean, you just wonder, that's a lot of adults just to get up every morning, stretch, and, you know, put some eggs on the stove going, you know, today we're going to have to practice on gunning down, teaching the five-year-old to gun down some, you know what I'm saying? How does this work exactly? Now, they haven't eaten in 4 days. We're giving them water. Okay, well, we'll get around to that later. You know, we'll get them. I mean, just, it's one or two people holding people hostage. That's a different. But five or six or adults.
Yes, three men, two women.
Okay, that's
right?
Five adults. Mm. So they were motivated by their understanding of Islam. That's what's going on here.
That's right.
And that's not even mentioned. Not even called Muslim extremist or anything like that in the Associated Press article. As you guys said, if this would have been a Christian evangelist, it would have been all over the news media and have been, as Walker said, why we need to prohibit homeschooling.
Yeah.
We will be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. A charter school in Atlanta has decided they will no longer recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Laura Zelski is the president of the Atlanta Neighborhood Charter School. She said the pledge was eliminated so they could start the school day as a fully inclusive and connected community. Over the past few years, President Zelski said more and more young people in grades K through 5 were choosing not to stand or recite the pledge. So the school did nothing as children disrespected Old Glory. They could have used the pledge as a teachable moment explaining what the flag stands for, one nation under God. But instead, President Zelski announced the charter school will be writing its own Pledge of Allegiance, focusing on, among other things, the global society. Look, I have a simple solution to this nonsense. No Pledge of Allegiance, no more tax dollars. To learn more about this story, go to ToddStearns.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, Walker, you are posting the stories that we're talking about on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
That's correct. Okay. I posted the Atlanta story about the school pulling down the Pledge of Allegiance, no pun intended there, and the second story out of New Mexico about the compound.
Okay. And does that story about the compound where the Muslims were holding the children, the Muslim adults were holding the children, is that the AP story?
No, this one's from Fox News.
Okay.
And it mentions the
religious connection?
Yes. Yep.
And credits CBS. CBS told the whole story as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. CBS did?
Yes.
To their credit?
Yes, sir.
All right, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio, and we ask that you continue to pray for us here. We broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the country, 183 stations, Walker, is that right? And on the internet. And we also trying to tell the truth about what's happening in our country and in our world and encourage Christians to become engaged so that we can make a difference. We can be salt and we can be light in many different ways. As the Bible commands us to be, because the more good Christian citizens we have in this country, the better country we're going to have ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so we We encourage you to pray for us because of our mission, we are a target. We are a target spiritually, the Bible says, right?
That's right.
And also, there are many people on the secular left who would like to see us go the way of Alex Jones. That is to say, our voice be shut down completely. Yes. In the country. Now, Alex Jones's voice has not been shut down completely, but he's being, I don't know enough to talk about him, my opinion of him, mm-hmm. except that I do know that he has not threatened anybody.
Nope.
Or encouraged any illegal activity.
Right. As far as I know.
So he's just another voice out there in the thousands and thousands of voices in America who talk about things, and he has an opinion, and the secular progressives, in quotes, don't like it, so they're shutting him down because he's a hate group, I guess, or promoting hate
speech.
Well,
he has violated their policies against hate speech.
Has anybody seen anything cited that he did to...
No, there's nothing illegal.
There's no laundry list of things that YouTube or Facebook or somebody put out and said, these things, Alex Jones has violated.
The social media companies will not put out a detailed list of comments or statements that they object to, because that would put them under the lens, and it'll be blatant that they are banning him because they just don't like what he's saying.
Yeah, they just usually send something that says this is happening because you have violated our
terms of service or something.
Yeah. Like, well, we'll see what happens with that. That's a dangerous slippery slope to start down when you start banning people from social media platforms as powerful and as influential as those things are today. Yes, he can still be heard, I guess, on the internet and maybe on some radio stations. So his free speech has not been denied by the government. But that's what's next. Mm-hmm. Should the liberals get control of the federal government, the House, Senate, and if they were ever to get control of the White House, if they got control of all three, they would absolutely come after people like us, for example.
Yeah, and to prove that, the Democrats are circulating a memo in recent days talking about how they, if they're ever the majority, they can take over these big tech companies, metaphorically, or through regulation. And they want to label tech companies as essential utilities, like the power company, so that they can heavily regulate what goes on there.
Well, that might be our only alternative left for good right there in the end. because that would
wind up in the courts for a long time.
I don't like
time.
That idea, but I'm just saying that the left... These left-wing social media companies, they basically agree with the progressives.
Yeah.
That groups like ours, for example, are a threat to.
I think what the Democrats intend to do, if they could ever get that through, the likely court challenges, is they would regulate those mm-hmm. platforms to limit our ability to use them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's the way they would.
What could happen is what happens in third world countries where the government nationalizes.
Yeah.
Like they take over the oil industry.
Right.
Yeah. They'll take over the broadcast industry.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Our guest now is Jan Markell. Jan is the president of Olive Tree Ministries. She's based in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Jan has a weekend program here on American Family Radio called Understanding the Times, and we have her on most Thursdays that it works out. To comment on some of the things that we see in the news that we know of would be of interest to Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Yeah, and Tim, you were highlighting a story there that's just hugely important, and that is the slippery slope that's going on here with conservative media broadcasters, fellows like Alex Jones, who probably none of us are followers of Jones, but that's not the point. The point is, I think he could be the first of many that this is going to happen to.
Yeah, we need to watch this closely and see if this happens again. I'm not a big fan of government intervention into private company decisions, but in this case, and again, I haven't settled my mind on this, but I'm wondering whether or not it would be worthwhile to at least have hearings You know, like Mark brought Mark Zuckerberg up there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At least have hearings from these companies to find out so that we know, why did you ban Alex Jones?
Yeah.
But this is how smart these lefties are sometimes,
yeah.
And they're shrewd, because they know that the likelihood of what I just suggested happening, that is hearings before Congress, are probably not going to happen, because most of the Republicans go, hey, I don't agree with Alex Jones's conspiracy theories, so therefore I'm not going to defend his free speech rights. You see what I'm saying? So it's very shrewd.
This is what happened in Nazi Germany. This is what's happened in many nations that were dictatorships and are dictatorships today. I'm just watching it very carefully, and I know you folks are too, because we represent kind of a megaphone of conservative/Christian thought.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I heard Alan Dershowitz the other day on he was being interviewed on one of the Fox News shows, and he's a legendary liberal professor from Harvard University.
Right.
But he is, and I probably disagree with him on almost everything politically.
Yeah.
If we were to get into a conversation, but he is a traditional liberal, in the sense that he believes in free speech for everybody.
Right.
But he says, and this is him talking, he says that he's been persecuted now because the new progressives don't believe in free speech. They believe in shutting down speech, which they don't agree with, which is a complete change from traditional liberalism,
right,
Jan?
Yeah, but Dershowitz is also conservative-friendly. He appreciates the conservative, he appreciates the Christian message, which most liberals and progressives, you know, they simply hate us. That's all there's to it. But Dershowitz is not one of those, so that they're going after him for that too.
Jan, have you been following this story that we've been talking about this morning, and it's been over the news the last 3 or 4 days? And that's this compound, the discovery of this compound with the two men and the three women and the kids there in New Mexico. And of course, we've learned a whole lot more. Basically, it was an Islamic terrorist training camp.
Exactly.
And one of the guys we now know, Siraj Wahaj, arrested out there, that was running this compound to train kids to go in and shoot up schools. He's the son of an imam in New York known to be sympathetic to the terrorist cause.
Well, yes. And honestly, I think that there's more of these around the country than we have any idea. And I'm reading stories about that all the time. There could be hundreds. Some might not be very sophisticated. I don't think this was sophisticated. Some of them are. They have regular training exercises. They're out in the woods practicing. This has been going on for years and years. We're in the biblical predicted perilous times, 2 Timothy 3. And the writer there suggested that the last days were going to be, well, scary, to put it mildly. So I just think that's playing out. But This story in New Mexico, and I hope they continue to focus on it like a laser beam. And, you know, I'm in the Twin Cities here, where we have a couple hundred thousand Somalis, and Minnesota has been absolutely transformed, and I can't say in a good way, because of our Somali population. I'm certainly not suggesting each and every one of them is terrorist, but the issue is they will not assimilate into the American culture. None of them will. So when I hear these stories, the gentleman such as out of New Mexico, not surprised at all.
Jan, what are you going to be talking about this weekend?
Well, I've got Michelle Bachman on for the next 2 weekends, and we're going to talk about the Great Divide in America. Michelle is an insider. She works on President Trump's Faith Advisory Board and has good access to him, and I'm going to be talking to her about a lot of these issues for 2 weeks. That's the 12 Central Time on Saturday, 1 Central Time on Saturday, 12 Central on Sunday. I think it's a fact. And we're also going to look at, real carefully, this rush to socialism, on the left anyway, this new gal, Ocasio-Cortez, her victory in Queens, New York, and why are particularly millennials streaming to socialism? It's a scary thing, but I think we need to understand it.
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, that's Jan Markell joining us. Jan has a weekend show here on American Family Radio, and she's the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. If you're new to this show, we'll let you figure out who the voices belong to. That's a game you can play there. But anyway, we appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. And we do have podcasts of this show, right, Walker?
That's right. You can go to AFR.net, which is our website, and find the Today's Issues podcast there.
I wonder where that word originated from, podcast. What is it associated with? Would anybody know?
I think this is my guess. I think it was they were originally downloaded on like an iPod, and so it's like broadcasting, but you podcast.
Okay.
Make a good trivia question tomorrow.
That makes sense to me.
Make a good trivia question.
Yes, it would. Maybe I'll.
It's correct.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you Googled it?
Yeah. The word was originally suggested by Ben Hammersley as a portmanteau of the word iPod.
Okay. So podcast. So podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So the portmanteau is when you combine two words. Like Wi-Fi or
a portmanteau.
Yes,
it's also a great place to stop if you cruise the Russian rivers.
Yes,
huh?
Portmanteau.
Yeah, right over there. Yeah, or maybe France.
Well, anyway, I went to the restaurant.
You can stop
I went to
there.
Portmanteau the other day. They had a great steak. Some great mushrooms.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Portmanteau.
Yeah, they're not a chain.
No, that's right.
All right, we want to welcome to our program now Alex McFarland. That would be Dr. Alex McFarland to you people. He is host of the program Exploring the Word, co-host with our good colleague here, Bert Harper, in the afternoons at 3:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Alex does a lot. He travels the country speaking, preaching, teaching. He has classes that he teaches at North
Greenville
Baptist
University
there in Greenville, South Carolina, and joins us most Thursdays that he can. Alex, good morning to you, brother.
Hello, men. Thank you for having me.
Traveling today or at home?
Well, actually, I'm doing something that's not too fun. I'm headed to the dentist to get a filling repaired.
Well, we're glad you're talking to us prior to that.
Exactly.
Although they do,
I have been on the road.
Although they do,
go ahead.
Well, that can go two ways because the good news is that you're going to get a what now? A root canal?
Filling repaired.
A filling repaired.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying the good news in going to the dentist is they usually when they do something like that to you, they give you that happy gas.
Exactly. I just got to make sure that I can talk before 4 o'clock when we do Exploring the Word.
Right. Exactly. The bad news is that happy gas wears off later in the afternoon.
And at that point, when it's worn off, you have no idea what you said.
Yes,
on
you
the
did.
Air, so.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, what is that called? Do you know what that's called, Alex? They give you.
Nitrous oxide. It used to be nitrous oxide. I don't know if they have.
You know, one time, I may have told this before, if I have, act like you haven't heard it, but I went to the dentist. This is probably 20 years ago.
Wow. You need to go get a cleaning.
Well, yeah. No, I've been since. I go twice a year for cleanings, Ed. Thank you very much. But I went to the dentist this one particular time,
yes.
And... they were supposed to do some work on one of my teeth, and they gave me the happy gas. The nurse did.
Yeah.
You call them a nurse? Dental assistant, I guess is what they are. Anyway,
dental hygienist.
Young lady, she gave me that stuff there to get me ready for the whatever they were going to do. I've forgotten now.
Yeah.
And I got so tickled that everything she would say almost, I started laughing. And they couldn't do the...
Are you serious?
No, they sent me home.
You OD'd on
happiness. Yeah, they said, come. Well, I didn't do it. She did it to me. And she said, they said, come back Thursday because we can't.
If you're just did you still have to pay? I guess you still had to pay for the visit.
I don't know. If you're going to keep
laughing. He was too happy.
I've never had the laughing gas. Always the big needle coming in.
No, I had that. Well, I've had that too. You have to have that sometimes to deaden things. But yeah. I guess this was to get you. Conditioned for whatever they were
going to do. Alex is sitting there going, really? So I set aside time to sit here and listen to this?
Well, I know that ministered to somebody. somebody needed to hear that. All right, Alex, go ahead.
I think a lot of the people on the left have been breathing that happy gas. did you guys hear about the candidate in Ohio, the Green Party candidate, Joe Manchin?
Yes.
He was a Democrat, but now Green Party. And he believes he's descended from aliens.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that. I mentioned that yesterday. He says, "Well, his parent." No, he said his. Yeah, He said his parents are from another planet. And this is Alex.
Is there something wrong with that?
I've said for years we should build a wall around Earth because we get these illegal aliens from other planets.
Yeah, that's a high five or fist bump right there. That was good. Did you been waiting to use that?
It just now came to me.
Oh, did it? Okay. Anyway,
and
go ahead.
Listen to this. Okay, Joe Manchin. You know, he's got a platform very similar to many on the Democrat Party right now. He believes he's descended from aliens. He's got, you know, a lot of crazy ideas about the legalization of drugs and narcotics, and he's anti-Israel. I mean, typical of a leftist, he's wrong on everything. But of all things, and you can't make this up, his hometown, heaven help him, is Hell, Michigan.
Yes.
Seriously. It's a real place.
I've been there. I've actually preached there.
You've preached in hell.
I know what you're going to say, Ed. I know what you're going to say. And back.
Guess where? Also, I was in, with all due respect to people in Ohio, Gehenna, Ohio.
Oh my word!
I preached there.
Oh my word!
And you know, I was in Gehenna, Ohio. I was also in Hell, Michigan. And I'm like, really? Honestly? You couldn't think of a different name for your town?
All in favor, raise your hand. Good, we have a name for our town now.
Next issue.
We might have a trouble attracting businesses, but we'll see how it goes. All right. Alex, what are you and Brother Bert going to cover this afternoon, my friend?
Well, God bless you. We have been having a wonderful time preaching through the book of Acts. And for those that may not know, Exploring the Word comes on every day, 3 p.m. Central Time. And Bert Harper and I go through the Bible, and then we take questions. And we're in Acts 24 right now. And, you know, Paul has been put before Felix. And there's if you almost want to laugh, you ought to read Acts 24, the first four or five verses. A lawyer named Tertullius is representing the Jews who have promised they will not eat or drink for 40 days till Paul is dead. And it's almost humorous, the oratory and the flattery that Tertullius lays down to try to get the Romans to order a hit on Paul. But anyway, Acts 24, the history of the early church, of which we are now a part of the modern church, just like Paul, called to be courageous for the truth.
Hey, all right. Well, we'll be listening this afternoon, Alex. So appreciate you and Brother Bert. That show is very popular, Exploring the Word. It's a live, interactive Bible study on the air. And Alex and Bert do a great job with that program. Alex, take care, my friend.
God bless you, fellas. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I forgot. He says it. Oh, he's on his way to the dentist.
Yes.
Oh. Got to call him back in 30 minutes. just to see how he's doing.
Just before the end of the.
Just say, no, I'll just say, what magazine are you reading? 2015, you know.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated, yeah, or something like that. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred.
Yeah, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, yesterday, I believe it was, speaking to a group in Washington, D.C., and. He started to talk about his goal. One of his goals as Attorney General of the United States is to protect Christians, especially, against attacks from various groups out there. And in this speech to the ADF, that's the Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the great legal groups in this country, Christian legal groups, he made mention of the fact that he has concerns about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, he knows the Southern Poverty Law Center because Sessions comes from Alabama, right, and that is where they're based. Southern Poverty Law Center has been out there basically demonizing conservative groups. So this is a little bit of what Attorney General Jeff Sessions had to say yesterday to the Alliance Defending Freedom group.
But when I spoke to ADF last year, I learned that the Southern Poverty Law Center had classified ADF as a hate group. So you and I may not agree on everything, but I wanted to come back here tonight partially because I wanted to say this. You are not a hate group.
That's Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Alliance Defending Freedom, a great organization. I'm a charter board member of ADF. It was called the Alliance Defense Fund. Then it changed its name to Alliance Defending Freedom. They're based out of Arizona. They do pro bono work for Christian people across the country who've had their religious freedoms violated. And good for Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General. I gained a lot, even more respect for him going before that group and calling out by name the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has been discredited in so many ways. But they still get, you know, cited by the liberal media as a expert source on what is and what isn't hate.
Yeah, ADF is a very, very reputable law firm. I think Jeff Sessions in the same speech mentioned that they're 9-0 before the Supreme Court in the last 7 years, I think, or 7-0 before the Supreme Court. Anyways, they've won every case they brought before the Supreme Court.
I tell you, we need Jeff Sessions. I know he didn't recuse himself for the Russia investigation. I think that was a big mistake.
He did recuse himself.
I mean, he did.
Yeah.
What did I say? Did not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did, and we all, he in this room, think that was a big mistake, and it was. But on so many other things that an attorney general can do, he is doing and should be applauded for doing so. I mean, he'll get hit by the left again, the way he does day and night, he's siding with us and our message and the freedom we have to practice our beliefs, and he's calling out a group, Southern Poverty Law Center, that needs to be called out.
Well, and the reason this is important, obviously, he's the Attorney General of the United States, but there have been other federal government departments that have started to rely on the Southern Poverty Law Center has a credible group to assess other groups. And they just throw out the label hate group, just because they don't like what the groups are saying.
Yeah. And I don't have so much a problem with a company, for example, using their own criteria. If a company wants to say, hey, you're a hate group, we don't want to do business with you, then cite it. But for these companies and these government agencies, for example, like the Department of Defense was doing and no longer are doing, that is using the SPLC list, but for these groups and these government agencies to cite the SPLC as an authority on what is and what isn't a hate group is lazy and derelict on their part and unfair to the groups that are labeled hate groups, like the Alliance Defending Freedom group, because, they just say, well, the SPLC says you're a hate group, so we're not going to do business with you.
Right.
Wait a minute. What about you and me talking here? What do you think about what I'm doing here? Mm-hmm. To cite a third party is almost unheard of as far as I'm concerned. All right, Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
Fred, you are not a hate group.
No, sir.
You are not a hate group.
He can't be. He's Canadian.
Can't be. That's right.
We love everybody.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.